Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Is my mic on?
Yep.
It is. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. I'm going to ask my compadres here to pass out some handouts to you as we get started this morning. How many of you are glad to be in the house of God today? Amen?
Yeah.
You know, it's a privilege to be here as we see and talk about those that cannot be here. I visited Bracy this week and we talked with Phil and had a prayer time with him this week, and those that cannot be right here right now, I'm grateful to be able to be here, and we can pray for those that can't be at this time. It's been a while since I've been with you here. I've been away, but I'm glad to be back. We're soon to begin our Revelation and the Lamb seminar. And we see here that it will begin on Friday evening at what time? 7 p.m. on Friday evening, it will begin, and I hope to see all of your shining faces here at that time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good, good. We've been inviting people in the community to come out and hear the word. It's amazing to see the interest there is in the community, and we're excited even today to go out and share and invite people to these meetings. We have the flyers here. If you don't have some with you right now, you can go to the back. They have some in the back when you leave. You can grab some there. It has all the information that's needed there. And we also see on the back that it says, En Español también. Amen?
Amen.
For those that speak Spanish, we'll have translation as well. So we are looking forward to this event. I really believe that Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
I do believe that. And I pray that we all would be ready for Him when He comes. That we'd be ready for Him when He comes. Right now, I'm going to say a word of prayer. Do we all have handouts here? So you can follow along with the message. I think everyone has one. If you don't have one, you can raise your hand. Right there in the back with Abraham. There you go. Wonderful. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer, and we'll get into the word. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you this morning seeking your face. Lord, we're seeking to understand you more fully. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've sung about you and the prayers we've prayed and the scripture that has been read, and even the children's story that has been given. And now we pray, Lord, again, that your Holy Spirit would come down upon us in a special way as we open your word. May we see Jesus. Lighten our hearts today, dear God. Inspire us. And continue, Lord, to prepare us for your soon coming. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Come and See. What is it? Come and See. Now, have you ever had this experience when you have gone to someone and said, hey, I want to show you something. This is something that's really amazing. It's really miraculous. In fact, there was a time when I was in Hawaii living there, and there is definitely, you know, very nice things in Hawaii, some nice animals that you would not normally see. And there was one time a big, humongous sea turtle in the water there. And of course, you know, someone's describing it to you, oh, it's a big turtle. It's swimming around, and it's coming on shore and it's laying there, and you should come and see it. Now, isn't coming and seeing something more enjoyable than just hearing about it? Yes?
Sure.
That's true. I guess I could give this illustration as well, since it is Valentine's Day. When I was proposing to my fiance, Karen over there, the beautiful little lady there, I could have done this. I could have said, hey, Karen, let's go to the church here. And you know, I got to talk about this spot. It's an amazing spot up in Tahoe. It's called Castle Rock. And from that place, it's amazing. You can see the whole lake pretty much. It's a beautiful, beautiful view. It's amazing. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And then ask her, hey, will you marry me? No, instead of what I would do, I would actually take her there to that place and show her and say, come and see this with me, and you can experience it together, and we can all see what I'm describing. It's important to see something rather than just to hear about it.
Amen.
Let's go in our Bibles to the book of John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 29. When you get there, say amen. John chapter 1, looking at verse 29, the Bible says there, a very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the what? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John is there, the one preparing the way for Christ's first coming. And he says, the one I've been preaching about, the one I've been preparing you for, he is there. Behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Are you glad for that today? Amen?
Amen.
But he said, you need to see this person. And he was talking to the people around him and his disciples, saying these things, behold the Lamb of God. Then a little while later, look at what it says in verse 35. Again, the next day, John said stood with two disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Verse 37 says, the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? Then they said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? Verse 39 says, and he said to them, what?
Come
and see. And they came and they saw, and they remained with him. We see that Jesus here gives the invitation to come and
see.
You know, oftentimes we think about, you know, inviting people to know Christ and inviting people to understand the Bible and inviting people to say an evangelistic series. And we think of how we can persuade them and maybe even twist their arm or guilt them into coming to something like this. But what does Christ do in this sense? He just says, come. Come and see. My question to you this morning is, why is it so important for us to come and see Jesus? Why is it so important? Why is it so important for us to behold the Lamb of God? Why is that important? What are we... the slides are very small right now for some reason. Like, we can't see them. But I want to ask the question, what are we coming to? He says, come and see. So what are we coming to?
Jesus.
Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. The Bible says there, I heard some pages turning still. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you
rest.
Jesus says, come to rest. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we have a busy life, and we're here and there with work and family and children and all kinds of things. And Christ says, no, come to me. It's time to take a little bit of rest. Mary Magdalene and Martha were there in their home, and they invited the disciples over, and Martha was busy in the kitchen cooking and getting things ready and cleaning up and doing all kinds of things. But Mary was where? At the feet of Jesus. And Christ said himself, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that better part, to sit at my feet. Okay, so we need to come to him for rest. We can also come to him, and we find that when we come to him, will Christ reject us when we come to him?
No.
Look what it says in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, looking at verse 37. John 6, verse 37. John 6, verse 37 says, it says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means
cast out.
You see, Christ has an open arm, open door policy. Amen?
Amen?
And whoever comes to him, whoever comes to Christ, he will not reject them. He will accept them. Amen?
Right.
So we come to Christ and we find forgiveness and we find acceptance. We find acceptance no matter what our past is, what our present is, no matter what we've done in the past or what we're doing right now. Christ says, come to me. I will not reject you. Amen? Thank God for that. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. This is powerful. Jeff already read this during the prayer time, but I want to go there again to Isaiah chapter 1 and looking at verse 18. Isaiah 1, looking at verse 18, and the Bible says there in Isaiah, in the middle of the Bible there, chapter 1, looking at verse 18, it says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as..." I love that. Amen. We may have sins and we may be dirty and stained by the sins of our past life, but Christ says, "Come to me. Come to me and I'll make you whiter than snow." I'm thankful for that. Are you?
Amen.
"Come to me and I'll wash away your sins and make you like you've never sinned before." Christ gives us salvation. Come to me, find rest. Come to me, find acceptance. Come to me, find forgiveness for your sins and a cleansing. Come to me. But then he says, come, not only come, but I want you to come to me and receive these things, but I also want you to come and see. What are we going to see? Jesus. What are we going to see? Turn with me in the Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to go through a few scriptures here and see what Christ desires us to look at. Hebrews chapter 12. And looking at verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. When you get there, you can say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, we're there. Hebrews chapter 12, looking at verse 2, the Bible says, "Looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Come unto me and look at the one that's the author, the beginner, and the finisher of your faith. Have any of you ever felt before you that you came to Christ, but somewhere along your Christian journey that maybe you fell off a little bit, or maybe you took a wrong step, or maybe that things were not going as well for you as you'd hoped? Anyone have that experience before? Every day. Well, Christ gives us the assurance that no matter what you've gone through, the work that I've begun in you, I will complete that work. I'm the author and the finisher. When you're discouraged, when you're down, don't get discouraged, don't get down. Look to me, because I'm going to finish the work I've begun in you. Amen. Okay, so we're looking to him, the author and finisher of our faith. We also say that we look to God as our provider. Look at me. Look with me in the book of Psalm chapter 145. Psalm 145, one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Looking at verse 15 and verse 16. I hope you had your Bible this morning, because we're going from here and there in Scripture this morning by God's grace. The book of Psalm chapter 145, looking at verse 15 and 16. When you get there, you can say, "I'm there."
I'm there.
The Bible says, "The eyes of all look expectantly to you. You give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." We look to God as our provider for our needs. We look to him because he is the one that can give us what we do not have. He is our provider. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 20, we see there another reason to look at Jesus. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. 2 Chronicles, not 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and verse 12. When you're there, you can say, "Hallelujah."
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, "Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So we can look to Jesus and we can find understanding. When we don't know what to do, when it seems like the armies of the enemy are coming against us, we can say, Lord, we don't know what to do. We have no idea how to handle this situation, but our lives are in your hands. We're looking to you. Okay. I want to go to one more here. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We're looking at why should we see Jesus? Why should we look at Jesus? The first one is see the author and finisher of our faith. The second, we see our provider. The third, we see understanding. And the fourth one, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 36. We see here in Matthew 27 the crucifixion. The experience of Christ in giving his life for the lives of humanity. And as they hang him upon the cross there, they set guards. They set guards to watch over him. Look what it says in verse 36. It says there, sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Okay, that's great. So they sat there and they were keeping watch over him there. They were looking at him. They were watching him, the whole experience. And then it says in verse, skip down with me to verse 54 at the end of this experience. So you're in 36, now going to 54. It says, so when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this is the what? Is the Son of God. So we see here that these guards, even just watching Jesus upon the cross, they look at him, they're watching him that whole entire time, and at the end of the experience, they're convinced this must have been the Son of God. That's what happens when we see him. So the question may be asked, why is it important to see Jesus? How many of you want to see Jesus more clearly? Amen? You know, David asked for one thing. He desired one thing, King David. Do you know what that thing was? What did King David desire? The Bible says in Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4, it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David said, there's one thing above all else that I desire, one thing that I want, one thing that I desire to see, and that thing is, I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to be with him and see who he is and experience who he is. Why? How many of you love Jesus? Amen? Why? He's awesome. Your Savior. You know, the only way we can get to know Christ is by seeing him. And we have to behold him. And there's a very key thing. I believe there's a reason why beholding him is so important. Seeing him is so important. In fact, the reason is found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. We can go there together. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. I have it on the screen here as well, so you can look on the screen or in your own Bible. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So Christ is saying here, the Bible is saying, Paul is saying to us here, by beholding the image of God, we are changed or transformed into that same image from glory to glory. The Bible is saying that by seeing Jesus, by beholding him, we are changed into that same image. Amen? That's exciting to me. To behold Christ and to be changed into his very image from glory to glory. It doesn't happen all at once. It takes a process, yes. But the more we look at Jesus, the more we see and behold Christ, the more we'll become like him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for that right there. You know, my life was, I don't know about your life, But my life before Christ was not a good life. It was a life of pain, a life of depression, a life of longing for something better than that which I had. Yep. A life where there was no hope when I come down and lay on my pillow at night. There was no hope of a future or anything beyond that moment. But I tell you what, I've been going to church for 17 years of my life, and I had not seen Jesus for myself. I was down, was fooling around with partying and girls and all this kind of foolishness. But God, when I was 17 years old, He showed Himself to me. Amen. He revealed Himself to me. In a moment of darkness and gloom, I was kneeling down on the ground in Dominican Republic at 2 o'clock in the morning, praying, crying to God, asking Him, Lord, if You're really out there, please show me Yourself. Show me two things. You can forgive my sins, and You can give me a new start. Lord, if You can show me those two things, I'll live for You the rest of my life. At that moment, the Lord came down. He like just like a hovering arms all the way around me. And a whisper in my ear saying, You're forgiven. I'm your comforter. Oh, Jesus. I just started screaming and shouting out there in the middle of the night. Oh, yes, He's alive. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You that You care about me. Thank You that You've shown me Yourself, that You actually want to know me, and You want me to know You, and that You haven't just died for the whole world, but for me. It's for me. You care about me. The first thing I had to do after that moment, after I had seen Christ and He revealed Himself to me, I went to this Word. I didn't know where to go. I just started reading. I just started reading because I didn't know where to read. I didn't know what to go, but I knew that this book would reveal Jesus in some way. So I began to read it, and it showed me more and more and more of Christ, and I just can't tell you how glad I am for the power of Christ to transform a heart and to transform a life. Amen?
Amen.
Thank You, Jesus. Come and see. Come and see. Come to see, because when you come and see Me, you will experience transformation in your heart and in your life. When you see Me, when you see my love for you, when you see my care for you, my affection for you, Christ says, I will change you. So we saw first that Christ gave the invitation to the disciples, but who gives the invitation after that? Aha, exactly right. Look back with me in the book of John. John chapter 1, we're going to that same story we began with, when Christ met with John the Baptist. And the disciples began to follow Him. John chapter 1. This time we're going to begin in verse 43. So we see in the previous verses, two disciples came to Him when He said, come and see. Two people began to follow Him. And then He went out the next day. We're in John chapter 1, looking at verse 43. The Bible says, the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, follow Me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida and the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found Him of whom Moses, the law, and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael's kind of skeptical, like, oh, I don't know about this whole thing here. Hold on a second. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Really? And Philip said to him, what?
Come and see.
Come and see. He didn't try to twist his arm, didn't try to persuade him. He simply said, come and
see.
And I wonder if Nathanael saw a little bit of a difference in Philip. You know, he'd been following Christ for just, you know, maybe a day or a couple hours, who knows. But maybe he saw something different in Philip, and it's like, wow, there's something that's different about you here. And I mean, maybe I will come and see what you're talking about, because you're not the same as you used to be. And maybe there's hope for me too. Maybe you're actually right. I'll come and I'll see what is going to happen here. You see, Christ's followers, those that have received the invitation, now give the invitation. Those that have received the invitation, now give the invitation. We don't find Christ saying similar words to these much more in Scripture, but we find other people saying these words, come and find Christ, follow Him. His people that had been touched by His love, touched by His grace, are now following His example and inviting others. I know that when the Lord touched my heart, it was a life-changing experience. Some might say that I was overzealous. Going out and telling people, oh, you got to repent, you have to repent, the mark of the beast cometh. Well, but I've learned how to taper it down. I just didn't know what to say. I just said whatever I knew, which was very little. But I had to say something because I knew that I'd met this person named Jesus, and He changed my life. I had to share that with people. I had to. I had to give that invitation to other individuals. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22 and look at verse 2. The followers of Christ will give the message that He has given. Come and see. Come and see. Matthew chapter 22, looking at verse 2. This is the parable of the wedding feast. Amen?
Yes.
I've been studying this myself lately. I'm getting married in 29 days. I don't know those exactly. But actually, it would be give me 4 o'clock, so we're coming close. Matthew 22, looking at verse 2, the Bible says there, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his what? Remember that there. He sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. Come. Everything's ready for you. Please come. And notice who is being sent out. Who's being sent out? The servants. Not the king himself, but the servants. Now, are servants oftentimes treated well?
No.
Not usually, right? We see in the next verse, actually, that the people that were invited to the wedding did not treat the servants very well. In verse 6, it says, and the rest seized the servants. I'm sorry, verse 5 first. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and... yikes. Killed them. You know, this whole Valentine's thing? You know where it comes from? Where?
Irony.
Well, there's a whole lot of different theories as to where it came from. It's kind of mysterious and mystic. But what they can trace back, the Saint Valentine, or several people that were called Valentine, were actually martyred for the sake of Christ. That's where it came from. I mean, and that was back in the 400... for the 4th, 5th, 6th century, around that time. They were martyred. That's why we have, I mean, and we think of Valentine's today is like, oh, this sweet, lovey thing. Oh, wait, Lord, you know, I love you. Will you be my Valentine? Oh, thank you. And it's great, of course, you know. I can understand that. Amen. But we see here, and we see even in the foundation of that holiday itself, it was built from martyrdom, someone giving their life for what they believe. And these servants, as well as they go out to give the invitation and to spread that message, come to the wedding, come to the wedding. They weren't treated appropriately. This is very important. And this is not only important for us as servants of God, but very important for us as it pertains to the last day events and to Revelation. You know why? Let me ask you a question. The question is, who is God specifically revealing the book of Revelation to? The Bible says in verse 1, it's the scripture we read 4 times today, amen. It says there in Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show who? Specifically, it could have said anything. His sons, it could have said his daughters, it could have said his whatever. It says his servants. Things which must shortly take place. He wants to show his servants things that will shortly take place. Now, let me ask you a question. What characterizes a servant of God? What does it mean to be a servant, a true servant of God?
He
Faith, to serve God. Good. What else? Do you know the root word for servant is? That's right. Slave. Ugh, that's not a good word, huh? Who wants to be a slave? I don't. But that's what that root word there is slave. Bond servant. And now it can be voluntary or involuntary, either one. But it means to be a slave or to be a servant. And saying, I want to give this thing to my servants, my slaves. Now, I mean, I know that like hurts your ears, right, to hear, like, ugh. Right? Slaves. But this is deep, y'all. This is deep stuff. I got to show you right now real quick what it means to be a servant. Three verses, all right? What does it mean to be a servant? Number one. This is in Matthew 10, verse 24 and 25. The disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. So saying that the servant is they're not going to be above their master, but it's enough for them to be like their master. So a servant is like their master. Okay? Number two. A servant goes out to gather the harvest. This is in Matthew 21, verse 34. It says, when the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vineyard, to the vine growers, to receive his produce, or his servants. So this is actually the chapter right after the wedding feast, that these people are sent out to gather the harvest, and they're also killed. And the son is killed when he goes to gather the harvest. But the servants of God are going out trying to gather the ripe fruit in God's vineyard. That's what servants do, all right? So first, servants are like their master. They go out to gather the harvest. And number three, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find what?
Watching.
God's servants will be watching for their master. They'll be watching their master and watching for their master. That's Matthew 24, or Luke 12 as well, where it talks about the second coming of Christ and preparing for that time. God's servants are watching, waiting for him to come. Serving faithfully. That's what they are doing. Beloved, how many of you are servants of God? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. How many of you are slaves of God? Amen. Amen. And God's servants, or God's his man servants, his female servants, are going to be doing these things. Becoming like him, going out gathering the harvest, and inviting people to receive the same thing they have received. Salvation. Fortunately, God does not only call us servants, he calls us friends. Amen. But we see that his servants go and do his bidding. Okay. So we see that. We call ourselves servants of God. And one of the most important things about servants of God is, in this last point, is that they're watching and waiting for a second coming. Watching. Now, what is the contrast between a faithful servant and an unfaithful servant? A faithful servant and we see a faithful servant's watching. What does an unfaithful servant do? Sleeping. Look at in your Bibles with me to Matthew. Matthew 24. And we're going to see a description of what these servants are doing. Someone says sleeping. That's pretty much the case. But it's even worse than that in the scripture. What is an unfaithful servant like? Well, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, looking at verse 48. The Bible says there, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware. What it's saying here is those that are not looking, that say that the Lord delays his coming. Oh, you know, it's been preached forever. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. He hasn't come yet. He's not coming. But we see here, we see that the unfaithful servants say that very thing. The Lord is not coming. That's right. How many of you believe the Lord is coming? Amen?
Yes.
I believe it. And He's not delaying His coming. What He's actually doing is waiting for us to look at Him, to become like Him, to reflect His character. He's coming soon. And as we, in the next few weeks, delve into the book of Revelation, we're going to see that truly God is coming. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Him, to show His servants things that must shortly take place. We have to be watching. Revelation chapter 1. I want us to go there together as we close. Revelation chapter 1, looking at verse 7. We've talked about Christ's invitation to come and to see. We've talked about how when after we receive the invitation to come and see, we're to give that invitation to others as servants of God that go out to reach those who are in darkness, to give the invitation to those who have not yet heard. And those servants are not going to be saying, oh, the Lord delays His coming. They're going to be saying, the Lord is coming. Let's watch for Him. Let's watch Him and watch for Him. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. When you're there, you can say, I'm there.
Amen.
The Bible says, behold, He is coming with what?
Clouds.
Famous verse, right? Every Adventist knows this verse. Behold, He's coming with clouds. And every eye will what?
See
Him. Every eye will see Him. What was the invitation? Come and
see.
Come and see. Huh. Every eye will see Him, even those who
pierced Him.
And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so,
amen.
Jesus says He's coming. And when He comes, every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. The Bible, Revelation specifically, and we'll be seeing this more later on in the series, but Revelation is a symbolic book, isn't it? A lot of symbols in there, a lot of analogies, and a lot of pictures there that we have to discern from the other parts of Scripture. And we see here that Christ is saying that every eye will see Him, even those who... And I have a question for you. What does it mean to be pierced? Stabbed? I see the hands and the fingers. Have a hole punched into you, right? He was pierced. And this piercing is not simply just the piercing upon the cross, but there is a symbolic aspect to a person when they're being pierced. Turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21, our last verse here. Exodus chapter 21. Looking at verse 2. Exodus chapter 21, looking at verse 2. This is about servants, about slaves. Hebrew slaves, specifically. It says there in verse 2, if you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. And the seventh, he shall go free and pay what? Isn't that a great thing? You know, most times Hebrews were not slaves. Other Hebrews. That didn't happen in the culture. But when they owed a debt, they could be voluntarily enslave themselves to a person to pay off that debt. Yeah. And after they'd served for 6 years, the seventh year, as it says here, they could go free and be on their own. I want to go free. That's awesome. I mean, if you were a slave, wouldn't you want to go free? Look what it says in verse 3. And if he comes by himself, then he goes out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. Verse 4. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. So we see a picture here. If he's coming alone, he leaves alone. If he comes in married, he can leave married. But there's another option as well in verse 5. It says, but if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges, and shall also bring him to the door, or the doorpost. And his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him for how long? Forever. I think we see a picture here of Jesus, who made himself a slave for us. Amen? Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 says that he was formed and fashioned like a man, made unto a servant. And we see that as a servant, he could have said, I've served my time. Maybe I'll just go free. And maybe there in Gethsemane, when he was there, just need like, Lord, I'm tired of this servant thing. I don't want to be a servant anymore. I don't want to be a slave anymore. Lord, can you please take this cup from me? But he said, not my will, but your will be done. He chose to go to that cross and to outstretch his hands. And he was pierced there in his hands and in his feet and in his side, symbolizing that he loved his master, that he loves his wife, his church, and he loves his children. Christ wouldn't let us go. Christ said, I will serve for them forever. Jacob said, I'll serve 14 years, 7 years for each wife. But Christ says, no, I'm serving forever. I'm yours forever and ever and ever. And the book of Revelation is trying to show us this very important point that God wants to, he's given himself for you. He's become a slave, a servant for you. Will you not give yourself to him? Beloved, as we begin this Revelation series, we're going to be exploring these deep topics of Revelation, seeing the beauty of Christ that's therein. Amen? But I want to ask you this question as we close this morning, this afternoon. Maybe there's someone here that says, you know what, I really want in my heart of hearts to see Jesus more. I want to behold his character more. I want to see him for who he really is, not what I may have perceived him to be, but what he really is in his word, a God of love. Amen? I want to see him more. If you want to see Christ more, I want to invite you to stand with me this afternoon. I want to see Christ more. Amen. Amen. I do too. Amen. I want to see Christ more. Maybe there's someone else here who says, you know what? I don't only want to see him for myself, but I also want to invite others to see the beauty of Christ. If you want to do that, just raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I have one more question here tonight, or this morning, afternoon. I want to ask the question, is there someone here, maybe you've gone away from Christ, you haven't been close to him, and God has brought you here for a special reason. He's brought you here today to hear more about Jesus. And you want to say, I want to receive Christ into my life more than ever before. I've been away from him, but I want to receive him. I want you to raise your hand. Anyone here? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. Amen. And I believe he'll do powerful things as we unlock the book of Revelation. Amen? We'll see his love. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, you see us standing here this afternoon, Lord, in acknowledgement, Lord, of our desire to see Jesus more, to be like him, to experience him in a deeper and more personal way. You've seen the hands of those that say, I don't only want to see him, I want to show him and invite others to know him. Lord, help us to be able to do that, Lord. There's so many, Lord, people that are out in our world today that are lost and that are in desperate need of salvation. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be a tool in your hand to bring someone to a knowledge of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I do not believe we have a closing song this morning, but God bless you all. And I hope to see you at our outreach 2:30 today. Also, we for at the evangelistic meeting on Friday night. What time again on Friday night? 7 o'clock. Also, if you want to come for Thursday night for our prayer session, also at 7 o'clock on Thursday night to pray and baptize this whole series in prayer. May God bless you and have a great Sabbath.